Call is recording. And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 259.
Point one.
Yeah. Spotlight on DC Comics, Future Quest, number one, circa 2016. For all
point
you
one.
Point one, yes. Had a little technical difficulty. Can you stop hearing me for a second? That's you, man.
That's me. I'm playing the Johnny Quest theme song.
Oh, okay. Well, I got it too. Here. That's what I was trying to do when I dropped.
Uh-huh.
You hear it?
Yeah, I like your version better.
Can you hear it?
Oh, yeah. It sounds very 60s. Very bongo.
Okay, well, I can't, so...
Whatever. Oh, I can totally hear it.
That's weird. Oh, I know why.
That was awesome.
All right. So,
all right.
I don't know why it's doing.
Who are we, and what the hell are we doing?
I am Chris Mosby.
Point one.
Trying to think. Point one. Yeah. Here we go. There's Space Ghost. Okay.
That was great theme music.
Yeah, it was, man.
Oh,
still is.
So much better than... Yeah. It still is.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Let's see what else we got here. You continue while I look.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox. And I don't think I've ever seen a Johnny Quest.
Really? Oh, God, I love that show.
Haji.
I'd never, ever seen it.
Bandit.
I've seen a Space Ghost, and I know I've seen a Herculoids. And what else?
Yeah, I've got all those episodes. I've been rewatching them. Kids, sometimes the kids like them. Some of them, they're like, "Meh, it's boring." Whatever.
Race Bandit, a male nanny. Come on, that's
he's awesome.
Yes,
he is stuff, man. I'm telling you,
that was way before Charles in Charge.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
And he didn't go insane like Charles in Charge did. So.
Exactly.
Poor Chachi.
All right. Some Herculoids.
Chachi.
Fonzie would be so disappointed.
Here we
go.
Oh my God! That's Ray Bannon's voice.
Formless, fearless wonders. With
Xandor,
their leader.
Okay, that's enough for right now.
And now you got to find Birdman. Come on.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Go out and go on. Continue.
And Frankenstein Jr. Did we lose Chris again?
Chris.
Oh, good God.
Can't hear me.
Stop playing that stuff.
All
right.
That
well. We're going to dive into this book. Maybe Chris will join us. I don't know. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe...
I'm back.
Maybe stop playing the theme music.
Yeah, well, I know it's not playing it in the... when I download it, the place I'm downloading it from grabs it and then starts playing it. When that happens, that's what kicks me out.
All right. Well, let's just play without the music then.
Okay, we can do that.
Bring Murray back.
Invite the group call.
Says he's here. Are you here, Chris? I'm here.
I'm here.
All right.
Okay, we're back. Sorry for that. Another dropout. Apparently, adding those theme songs caused a little bit of a problem and kicks me out of the recording, but not them. So,
well,
we're back again.
I think we can all agree. The theme songs rock.
They do.
So, bottom line, if it's not clear, we are geeking on the Hanna-Barbera theme songs because DC recently started publishing all of these re-imaging of the Hanna-Barbera mainstays.
Yes.
And in my humble opinion, with two incredible failures, but in two incredible successes. So,
let's see. I don't think I didn't read Flintstones, and I haven't read Scooby-Doo. I don't think anyway. I need to, though.
Yeah, you do.
All right, go ahead.
I did not like Wacky Raceland, and I didn't.
Oh, I saw the look of that, and I said no, I'm not even going to touch it.
And Flintstones was just it was not fun.
Yeah, I've seen other people say that it was just odd.
It wasn't like bad. It just didn't work. So
I can see that.
We'll see. However, and I know we're not covering it today, I'm really enjoying Scooby Apocalypse because the creative team knows what a wonky concept it is, and they're a perfect wonky concept team, which was it's Giffen, DeMatteis, and Howard Porter. So
yeah, I need to check it out then. I forgot they were doing that.
So and it, they in the latest. Yeah, anyhow, it's up to issue 3. It is readable enjoyability. Readable enjoyable. So
sweet.
It's fun. And again, just tongue-in-cheek, and it's darker than a normal Scooby-Doo thing, but it is Scooby's. It's the Scooby gang versus monsters, just on a apocalyptic scale.
Wow.
Yes.
That does sound interesting.
And it has that same sense of humor that Justice League 3000 had.
Good. If you know that going in, it's easier, at least for me, to take.
Yes.
But
the big team-up book beyond Wacky Raceland is Future Quest. Future Quest is all the space and sci-fi characters from Hanna-Barbera, specifically Space Ghost, Birdman, Herculoids, Frankenstein Jr. will be in there. Who else is in there? I don't know.
I forget the guy that's in the background with the horns. I think he's like the Mighty Tigor or something like that. It's a prehistoric times superhero. He had some kind of, I think he had like a club, and when he's really a kid, and when he uses it, he's, you know, kind of like a Shazam thing, if yes. I remember correctly.
And it looks like they're going to have the Impossibles are in there as well, which is
yes,
which I always
found. And the Galaxy Trio. Oh, here we go. Here's the double space page thing.
Yes,
Frankenstein Jr. I never watched, but I did see some Galaxy Trio stuff. I watched the crap out of Herculoids. I got all those.
Now is Kazam going to be in this, I wonder?
I don't see him. And I think, didn't, what's his name?
Jack Kirby?
No.
No.
Didn't Shaquille O'Neal, like, kill that, any movie, anything for that?
Oh, that's different Kazam.
Different Kazam? Oh, okay. I thought that was supposed to be a riff on that. Personally.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I thought it wasn't. I thought, or maybe I've got the name of the Hanna-Barbera character wrong. Isn't it Kazam?
I don't really know.
Well, bottom line, this also stars the Johnny Quest family of characters. They, with a name like Future Quest, I think they kind of own
yes.
the book.
Yep.
Awesome cover. All the nice two-page wraparound cover with all the characters that will be featured in here. And I'm going to need to print this coloring book version for my daughter.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't see that.
Color it up.
Uh-huh.
She will enjoy that. She enjoys it. She's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Make him whoever she wants. And, oh,
I
my
like that.
God, look at this Bill Sienkiewicz cover. Wow.
Ooh. It's not too bad.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Rude? Oh, my golly, gee whiz.
Yeah, I know. That was cool.
Johnny Quest, Steve Rude, with Haji and
Bandit.
Bandit. And they're climbing over the bridge with the troll underneath.
is that Chris Samnee on the Herculoids one? I can't tell who it is.
No, it is Aaron Lopresti.
Ah, okay, yeah, that looks like him.
Oh, yes, very nice. Wow.
The only thing I didn't really care about is is they kind of redid. They had that great, and I don't remember who wrote it, but they had a Space Ghost origin story that Alex Ross did the cover for, and I thought that was a great origin. But they've kind of changed it a little bit in this. That was the only thing I didn't like, but I was hoping they'd keep that. But anyway.
Can't always get what you want.
No.
But
no.
Murray, that's the dance hall version. That's the dance hall version?
Totally. Dance hall version? Okay.
Can you do the... Can you do the reggae version for us now?
No.
No.
Not my thing.
Ja, man. I can do that, man. No. New moments.
Nope.
No, man. Okay.
No.
Didn't they do? Wasn't there a Birdman a cartoon for a while there? With the, he was a lawyer.
Yes, Birdman.
Yes.
Birdman attorney at law.
Yes.
You guys still hear
yes.
me?
Yes.
Okay, good.
All right. Well, let's after 15 minutes of finally getting to this point. Anyhow, some great covers.
Yes.
If you get an opportunity to check out the 7 covers for this particular series. But this is DC taking all the space and sci-fi characters from the Hanna-Barbera collection and putting them all into one book together. It's being tried at other companies as well. Gold Key is giving it a shot, which has been mediocrely good, and couple others are.
Been meaning to check that out.
I don't.
Okay.
It's painful. Yeah. So here we are in a distant world, years before, and we are seeing mass destruction in mass quantities, and we've got a couple characters in the Space Ghost garb. One of them is slightly reminiscent of the Hal Jordan origin.
Yeah,
it is.
A voice off.
Watch, I didn't catch that the first time. I don't know why I didn't.
What kind of Green Lantern fan are you?
Well, totally, because I was thinking about the one they did in the Space Ghost book. They actually put it up on sale at Comixology either this morning or yesterday. I can't remember which. I don't remember which one it was, but I remember seeing it.
Live in the here, live in the now.
Yep. All right, then.
All right, that's it. The last city of Voronova, obliterated. Your plan worked, General. A character comes flying in. Humanoid character. Blowing the power plants destroyed most of Omnicron, and the population is evacuated. Thank you, Captain, says the forearm dying guy on the ground. But at such a cost. At such cost. Yet, its center still struggles against the last of the Space Force. It can grow again, if they do not win. This was all for nothing. And he
good.
And he hands off his armband to the humanoid character. And again, if anybody knows the Space Ghost story, he uses his armbands for doing all sorts of wonky, science fiction-y comic book type stuff in the cartoons, like turning into beams and stuff.
Yeah, I just now noticed that the one he's got on, or had on already, is actually different than the General's. It's only got one button, and that one's got two.
Oh,
I missed that before.
It's twice as good.
Yeah. Well, he even mentions that he's got, in a couple panels, he says, I've got his General, what's his name's armband. So, anyway.
And all these Space Force guys are banding together. We will stop it, sir. Space Force Unit 990, have you destroyed the core? Captain, hurry. There are a few of us left. We have Omnicron at the chasm, but his defenses are too... And we see octopus tentacles, pieces all over the place. Very... Someone's having a sushi fest out here on the...
Chitulu.
Cthulhu?
Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So they all start firing their armbands, or single armband. They all only have one button. But the humanoid guy, he's got three buttons. One on... Mm. And they're shooting, and it's all for nothing. And they're shooting, and it's very Green Lantern, and
oh yeah,
the Cthulhu character. We have it. The core is reactive. It's going to blow, and us with it. I am proud to go down with you all. No, Kyre, the general's band has the force shield. Azura, no, it can cover only. It can only cover. And big Kablooey
Kaboom.
And all of the characters are disintegrating except for the captain, and he's still alive because he had the force shield. It's done. It's done. And we pull back, and there's a lot of death and destruction and pieces of the bad guy character, and it's all smoking rubble. It's kind of gross. And now we are in the present. And this is very cinematic, this the way this is told. I'm...
Mm-hmm.
This is really cool.
I enjoyed it.
Now we're in the present, and this is part one, Lights in the Sky, written by Jeff Parker, art by Evan Doc Shaner, who does pages 1 through 19 and 28 through 30, and Steve the Dude Rude does pages 20 through 27. Jordy Belair is coloring this. ALW Studios' Dave Lamb, fear, is lettering. And Steve Rude did one of the Steve Bucciolato. Why do I know that name? I don't know. Does the colors?
That sounds familiar. No, yeah, I agree.
And we had variant coverage by Bill Sienkiewicz, Aaron Lopresti, and Joe Quinones. And we have editing by Marie Javins. Marie Javins, formerly of DC. Marie Javins.
Well, still of DC.
Oh, DC. Okay. I know, teasing.
Special thanks to Darwin Clark. I saw that. I think he was going to work on this, wasn't he?
I think he was just doing character designs.
And this came out pre-passing of Darwin Cook. If ever.
Yes, the first one, yeah.
So we are in the present day, and there are two things zipping through the sky. I thought we were supposed to be looking for strange phenomena, Johnny. Wee-hoo! And... You're right, Haji. And we see Johnny Quest and Haji scooting around the sky with jetpacks on their backs.
Mm-hmm. Why
and
would you scoot
camp-
around?
Yeah, I want one. I hate seeing traffic.
Kid.
Traffic sucks. For those of us who can't ride their bikes to work or work from home 24/7, that would be me.
Yeah.
I'm the only one who fits into that category.
What are you trying to say,
I'm
man?
I'm trying to say some people work from home 24/7 or can ride their bikes to work. Looking at my two co-hosts here.
Yeah, yes, yes.
I can't ride my bike to work anymore.
Oh, you can't?
It's,
oh.
No, it's too far away.
Oh, okay. My bad. Sorry. But you run into traffic. Would you want
yes.
a jetpack?
Yes, so badly.
Okay.
I bet he
yeah,
would.
But they can't start without you at your job.
Oh,
right?
Well, you would be surprised.
Kids will be kids.
That's funny. Yes, they will.
Mr. Fox isn't here. I'm going to go ahead and run the class today. We are going to learn about boogers.
On a good day.
Yeah, I bet.
How far can I fling this booger? Somebody break out the tape measure. All right. Anyhow, so they're scooching around the sky. Johnny is being very playful, and Haji is being very stodgy, as Haji will be. You're right, Haji. We should spread out to search wide. If I do that, who will catch you when you crack your head on a branch? Asks Haji. And
funny
story. Haji, look! And they're flying over, again, very cinematic. They're flying over the Florida Everglades. There's crocodiles below them. Whoo, wow, look at all of them. They look like dinosaurs looking down. Haji, watch this. And Johnny Quest goes in and he teases the crocs with dive bombs them, and one jumps out of the water. God, the music would be great at this point. Sorry.
I can play that.
No, because we want the call to continue. We're deep into this now, so
all right.
You dive bomb.
All right, okay.
And nothing good ever follows that phrase of Haji, watch this. And
no.
And from the helicopter that was watching them from above, we got Race Bannon and Bandit up there. And that's not what your father meant by going in for close observation, Quest, says Race Bannon. This is reconnaissance, Johnny. We're here to observe. Dr. Quest predicts there's going to be another light show today, and he needs scans on it. Sorry, Race. I'll focus, says Johnny. And you know who did the voice for Johnny Quest, right?
Yes. I can't remember. It's Tim something. He's still an actor even now. Yes,
he was in Animal House. It's Tim.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Crap.
This is your bailiwick, Murray. You're supposed to know this stuff.
All right, hold on. I'm IMDBing.
All right, so anyhow, they're out supposed to be doing reconnaissance, and they are, and Johnny's zooming around, and Race is being a male nanny for them, and with a very smart Scooby-like dog in the helicopter. Yeah. Not going to tell them we're out here too early, Bandit. The doc has to take a meeting in the lab. Heh, I did.
Now I remember.
Who was it?
Tim Matheson.
Matheson, of course. Fletch, as well.
Yes, he was on the West Wing. He was on, he's been on the Heart of Dixie. On a TV show. But anyway,
all that really matters is Animal House and Fletch. But.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyhow, so they're out supposedly doing reconnaissance, but they're just screwing around. Or at least the boys are. And Race is keeping an eye out for the phenomenon. And we're now 3 miles southwest in Palm Key. And we see a woman and a man getting off a plane, a seaplane. The humidity and heat. It's like when I was a girl back in Jakarta, says the woman. I like all the sun. Guess if he wants a private place to work, this is it. And the man's got a blue eagle. I want a blue eagle. Anyhow. And he takes lets it out of the cage, stretch those wings, Avenger, find some lunch while we're inside. And he lets the eagle go. And so now we're going to now that we've spent hours in flight, we're friends, right? Asked the man. You want to ask me about your superior, Falcon 7? Go ahead. You've met him in person, right? Sort of. No one gets very close to him, she says. What you've seen on your screen is as much as I'm only an agent like you. And we get a speaker that says, proceed end of hall. Take lift to top floor. I should have said that in a more mechanical voice. Sorry. Visitors, Ray Randall and Diva Sumadi, you are cleared for entry. So first they tell them where to go, and then they clear them. That should have been the other way around. But
yeah, well, they had to make sure they weren't, you know, clones or something, I guess. I don't know.
So what a great secret identity. He carries around the eagle that is Birdman's eagle.
Yeah, I know. They didn't think about that very well, did they?
It is Hanna-Barbera. They weren't overly concerned about that. Proceed to end of hall and take lift to top floor. Wait a minute. Again? Okay. This Dr. Quest is very thorough. Interesting that he made us come in person. Quest refuses to speak with InterNation any other way. You reviewed the files Falcon 7 sent, right? Yes, they're walking down the hall to go to the top floor. He worked with Defense Department and NASA until his wife was killed by a saboteur's bomb. Now he contracts work privately. Yes, then the elite branch to Intelligence One assigned one of their best operatives to protect the family, Race Bannon. And we see in the background sort of a mind image of Race killing a bad guy while he's in scuba gear with a knife, and Race Bannon's a badass.
Oh, he is.
And a male nanny. I bet he makes a good omelet.
I bet he does, too.
All right.
He's the original badass, I think.
He is. He's like the Daniel Craig Bond. All right. Nice gesture, considering he doesn't work directly for the government. They can't risk Quest falling under enemy control. He's one of the top three minds in defense and aerospace tech, says Davi. Diva. Whew, I'll get that right. Anyhow, so Ray and Diva get in the elevator. They go up to the top floor. They step out, and it is Tony Stark's laboratory. It says, Quest is an eccentric who takes in orphans and drags his family into hostile territories. Which, if you've ever watched an episode of Johnny Quest, that's exactly what he's done. Haji's an orphan, and for whatever reason, he takes them to places where things get blowed up real good.
Yeah, they can't leave him behind, though, so I guess, I mean, what else are you going to do?
Yeah. So they're walking around, and he lectures about peace, but all his work lends itself to weapon systems. His peers will tell you it's to keep funds coming. He needs the resources because he thinks big. I don't know who's talking there, but somebody's talking.
It's Dr. Niles Calder who's talking.
That's right. So he's been talking to them off screen, off panel, and it's Dr. Quest. So one day,
he recorded everything they said, and he was playing it back.
One day he can do something truly great for the world. I'm sorry if it seemed we were profiling you, Doctor. Still, I did not expect to be monitored, says Diva. I didn't eavesdrop. Miss Randall's voice carries, says Dr. Quest. Thank you for coming out. It's time to share my findings with Internation. Our superior sent us immediately. He said if Benton Quest says there's a threat to the world, we need to learn more. And, Dan is standing there scratching his throat, and there's a skull in the background. I bet that's from an episode, but that's
probably is
about the Quest-ology. Anyhow, so he's staring at Dan is staring at a 3D model of the Earth, or a 3D hologram of the Earth. You're tracking something. We have been for years. I became aware of these vortexes appearing around the world and vanishing. Sometimes they emit energy, sometimes a torrent of data I can't interpret. After a manifestation, I often find things like this left at a site. A rock, says Diva. A rock with properties not found in the whole solar system, says Dr. Quest. The phenomenon has grown in intensity for a decade. Each appearance of a vortex is lasting longer and causing chaos. A recent one we found had cryptic plant life, and time didn't progress in the usual direction. The vortex was clearly a hole being punched in space and time, distorting our physical world until it vanished. And we...
Superboy Prime?
Right.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Different hole.
And we see how Dr. Quest puts his family at risk. Even poor little Bandit getting all wrapped up in the tentacles there, along with Haji and Johnny. And
let's... Just to, you know, give Quest a break, sometimes he tells Johnny to stay behind and he don't listen, so... You know what I mean?
I do. Damn kid. So he's been exploring this longer than Johnny's been alive, it appears.
Yeah, apparently so.
And the real reason I chose this spot for my lab is it's the most remote locale in the U.S. where the vortexes regularly appear. So these vortexes pop up all the time. That's creepy. With each one, I can more accurately predict the next occurrence. A big one is due sometime. Now, what makes this a concern of Internation security, asks Diva. This seems more the realm of climate change or natural disasters. And we see a hologram of Dr. Or Professor X. No, it's just another...
Dr. Zinn.
That's right, Dr. Sayus. No, it's another bald guy. You know this man?
Mm-hmm.
He asks Quest. Of course we know him. Of course we know Dr. Zinn, one of the other three great minds who have fewer... who has fewer moral qualms about who he sells his technology to. Right. In anything I'm aware of, so is he, says Quest. In fact, he's beaten us to several vortex sites. Anyhow, so basically they've identified the bad guys, which are F-E-A-R. And all of a sudden there's a flash in the sky. And it's a unidentified object emitting possible distress signal in ion bursts. And, Reitz, are you seeing this? Says Quest over the intercom. Roger that, Dr. Quest. Whatever came out of the sky landed a mile from us. And, of course, Bandit's barking. Barf, barf, barf. No, it's braff, braff, braff. I don't know. Anyhow, so Johnny and Haji go streaking off to go intercept. And there is a triangular plane flying down at them and starts shooting at them. And Race gets knocked out of his helicopter gets knocked out of the sky, and he tells the boys to take cover. And Race, we have to help him. And Bandit, of course, Bandit. Poor Bandit. Dr. Zinn's battle drones. So low. Go low. You, oh, man.
You skipped over where he got shot, or did I miss
I
that?
Said he got shot down.
Oh, okay. I missed that. Sorry. Okay.
And
so cut it out.
They're targeting Johnny and Haji with, well, targeting equipment. And these two.
One of my favorite Johnny Quest episodes is that big eye with the huge ass legs. It looks like a daddy long leg spider when it comes out. I love that. That's a great one.
It was very creative, that show, visually.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Haji gets shot out of the sky, and Johnny's ditched the gear. And he's trying to unbuckle, and Johnny swoops down and snags Haji out of the sky as the jetpack falls off. And too much weight on one jetpack, and he's losing altitude. One unit can't support us both. Now what? Got to slow down. Ow, ow, boom, as they go crashing through the brush and the trees. And they got a little kid on a boat fishing with his cat. Spots him. Hey, what the what? And they crash land, and somehow Haji's turban stays on. And Johnny joys the hell out of it. He's, what a landing. I'm not sure we've really landed, Johnny, says Haji. They've got their relationship down. That is so good. And then they look up in the sky, and there's all these images of all the other space, sort of in silhouette, the other space characters from Hanna-Barbera. There's Space Ghost's ship getting blowed up, and we see some of the Herculoid monsters in there, and I think that's Kazam over there on the right, but I could be wrong, because you can see that he's got the little earring on the right ear, and...
Possible.
And other... Oh, you're... That's right. Oh, no.
What?
That would be cool, though. We haven't seen the Legion in forever. Mm. And they look up, and they're like, oh, I think we've hit our heads. Vortexes. More than we've ever found. But now you can see into them. And all of a sudden, there's the spy eye with the legs above them, like you mentioned, Chris.
Yeah, I love that episode.
And he's all... And Johnny says, we've got to find Race and call Dad. I really liked your version where this was a hallucination, says Johnny. You go left, I'll go right. And the spy eye tries to besorge him. And they run off and we're back in Quest's lab. Race, come in, report. He may be off frequency, says Diva. Here, maybe I'm picking up something.
Doctor,
we've been shot down, trying to catch up with the boys. I told him to take cover. I don't know who the assailant is yet. It gets better. Gunmen coming down in glider chutes in black uniforms. I'm going out there, says Dave, or Dan. The hovercraft is docked on the terrace. Let's hurry.
No need for a hovercraft, Doctor. I've got my own transportation.
And we're now in the bad guy's lair. You can tell because it's red and there's birds in cages and the woman is wearing mesh, barely covering clothing.
Yes, I was surprised to see her over there.
And they've been eavesdropping on the whole conversation, and they've been watching the whole fight. And the guy in the chair with his bad, oh, Benton, always putting your precious brain in the middle of danger. You don't even realize how many steps behind me you are, old friend. The power that will determine who runs this world is coming. And you can also tell he's a bad guy because he's Asian-looking.
Yes.
Quite the trope of the old Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Good point.
They were not, by our standards, the most politically correct.
No, I wouldn't think so. No, they weren't.
We're just waiting for the Scatman Scruthers character to come through. Yes, yes, okay, so one more specimen from the breach today will be all I need to be ready and waiting. The woman says, Dr. Zinn, a question. Speak freely, loyal agent. If this force is trying to break into our world, is so powerful, how do you plan to control it? The entity cannot make it through in one piece. It's trying to pass through this limbo state of time and space, but another force is working to keep it there. And whoa, that is psychedelic.
Yeah, that's pretty loud, isn't it?
That's clearly the Steve Rude pages. I haven't been counting, but this has got to be a Steve Rude page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would imagine so.
He's channeling Steranko on this page.
Mm-hmm.
An epic struggle wages that reverberates through the universe. This smaller force is relentless, slowing the entity, but it can't stop it. The entity breaks off parts of itself to continue on, to come to Earth, its mind, programming, reflexes, whatever drives it to control its incredible mass is fragmenting. From what smaller samples we've recovered, it's clear that the sub-entities are vulnerable to our control. We must reach them immediately before any can join with their other parts and make them serve F-E-A-R, fear. With such power at our control, what could Quest have to possibly challenge us? And yeah, again, we've got a psychedelic image of all of the space heroes. There's Space Ghost in the middle fighting. It's like a
oh, yeah, I see him now.
It's like, what do you call it, a stained glass at a church or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that would be awesome.
I want that in my window. Scare my kids at night.
Yeah. There you go.
You see that creature there, the Cthulhu thing? Never mind. And we're back in the lab. We might be able to fit. Mr. Randall, what are you doing? Don't worry, Doctor. We'd just be slowing him down. He's a special mission agent for a reason. I fly for the glory of Ra. The sun is my strength. The sky is my home. To my side, Avenger! And he becomes...
Mudman!
What he said. Birdman,
yeah.
I thought he was a modern myth, says Dr. Quest. He is, says D.Va. And there's Avenger with Birdman. I don't know anything about the character.
His powers are from the sun, and he does missions for this guy that they were talking about earlier. I forget what his name is, Control or something. And he's got this fortress on top of a mountain, I believe.
Where's Dynamo?
And the guy's got like an eye patch, kind of like the guy that was in the Airwolf show.
But where's Dynamite?
That's a different one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we're back to Johnny and Haji. They're still being chased by the spider spy thing. There's another spider out there somewhere, says Haji. Okay, forget whatever crashed. Let's just find Race, says Johnny. Wow, being reasonable. What if he's... Don't worry, Haji, says Johnny. Being shot down is Race's favorite landing style.
That's true.
And there's a voice coming. We connect. We cross the void. What's that voice, says Johnny? I don't know. It's everywhere and nowhere. Gone. I'm pretty sure it was in my head, says Haji. And we got a cool double-page spread, and Haji's tripping. I really hope Dr. Quest is on the way. He must be right. Haji, are you okay? When I stop falling, stay back. Ground's unstable. What is this? And it is Cthulhu.
It's a dinosaur.
It's one of the Herculoids. I forget his name. Igu, maybe? No, that's one of the...
But it's dead, whatever it is. Where do you think it came from? From one of those, and there's another portal, and we see, again, the characters there, and there's the Herculoids and the Space Ghost guys with Xan and Jaina, or whatever her name is.
And Jaina was there.
Right. Yep, that's Xan, or Kazan, I don't know, it's Kazumthing.
Yeah, you're right.
They're back. You can see through the vortexes more now. What does this mean, says Haji. And then, fading out again, I wish Dad and Race could see this. Do you hear something? Of course, Benton's brat is in the way again. He can join the specimen. Retrieve! Thump, thump. And they're being stalked by the spider spy things, and here comes that kid on the boat. Hey, they're right behind you. Get in. I'm not stopping. And he slows down just enough for Haji and Johnny to jump on the boat. What a break. I saw you guys flying and crashing. I've been looking for you. Boy, that had us cornered. Don't sit on Snag up there. He's my buddy. I wonder if these characters existed before, this boy and the cat.
I've never seen them, but it doesn't mean that they didn't. Did.
And
you know what I mean.
I do. I interpreted your speak. And those giant spiders don't swim, do they? I sure hope not. And the giant spiders are collecting the dead Herculoid. We're okay. I think this mission is to collect anything that came out of the vortex. Yeah, killing me and Haji is just a bonus for them. Haji. And I heard him yell, Johnny, at you. I'm Ty, says the kid on the boat. You hear in your fan boat. Let me try that again. You hear in your fan boat, it's the best luck ever. Where do you live? Maryland, but I'm staying with my grandparents for the summer. And since I don't want to watch soaps all day, I've been taking their boat out fishing. Exposition? I don't usually come down this far. Is this place always full of war games? Kinda, says Johnny. Our dad lives over on Palm Key. Can you take us there, please? If you have enough gas for me to get back, no prob. So Haji calls Dr. Quest his dad. I don't know if he did that in the cartoons. I have no idea.
I don't ever remember him calling him that, but I haven't rewatched them all yet. So Johnny always called him sir, or yes sir, you know, and then I think he called him Dr. Quest.
I thought so as well.
That probably wasn't. Adopting an Indian child probably wasn't, you know, okay back then. So they didn't actually come out and say they adopted him, but they took care of him for sure.
Yeah, Murray, you got to watch these things. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna
you
have
dig
to
it.
Dig them up somewhere.
Maybe you would absolutely dig it. They got to be on YouTube or something. So,
dude, I've got you covered. Don't worry.
Okay, he's set. Just need to get out into the open water. I'm starting to get the hang of navigating here, but it's tricky. I don't get signal on GPS half the time. So this is now, just in case anyone was wondering. Hey, the water. This is some sort of swamp thing I don't know about, says Ty. No, look down inside. Something's coming up. There's the vortex opening in front of them. And I will stop you. I will destroy you. And out pops Space Ghost, and he is about to besorge the boys. And, of course...
Yeah, he ain't happy.
And he's see-through. To be continued.
Well, he's a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
He is a ghost.
Space ghost.
Space ghost!
Yeah.
And he's got the two-button thing on. I'm going to guess that we have met the current version of that captain from the war at the beginning of the ship.
Yep.
And then we get a lot of DC ads, and that was Future Quest, number one. Introducing...
Great.
Some of the characters and giving us vague hints at some of the other characters.
Uh-huh.
We get more in issue two, and I don't think issue three is out yet.
No, issue two came out last week.
Yeah. Yes, last week. That is correct.
They're not coming out bi-weekly like some of the other DC books. They're coming out monthly-ish.
Yes, definitely ish. I think it's been longer than a month since the last one came out. Well, I mean, it came out before they changed their logo even.
Oh, they still had the old Flippy Page logo, didn't they?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. You look at the front, that's what you see.
This was pre-DC Universe Rebirth.
Yep.
So it's definitely, like, that's early May?
Yep. I think it's the week of May 20th or May 13th, somewhere in there. Mid-May.
Yeah, mid-May. To mid-June, May. To mid-July. Yeah, it was 2 months.
So, anyhow, I enjoyed this book. I don't know. I think that the plus is I'm vaguely aware of these characters, so they can pretty much do whatever they want with them, and it won't irritate me as a fan because I'm not that – I don't have preconceptions.
Yeah, now I didn't have – I didn't watch all of these characters, but I've got – all of the Johnny Quest, and I have all the Herculoids. The Herculoids was always one of my favorites. Apparently that's the guy that does the main guy in Herculoids is the same guy that does Race Bannon, and I can recognize the voice from the theme song. Space Ghost I watched all the time. I have a spattering of episodes of that. Now, the Galaxy Trio, No idea where that goes around. Yeah, the Galaxy Trio.
They do the theme music for all the shows.
Yeah. There you go. But, the only first time I ever saw them was in a Hanna-Barbera actual comic book. Had a bunch of these characters in it. So that's some of them, that's for the first time I saw them. Sense.
And my guess, and what they're doing is, as we get deeper into it, it's in the vein of Crisis on Infinite Earths, where they're cherry-picking characters from the various continuities, and they're going to put them all together. So they're killing off some and bringing some of the ones you may not necessarily expect as part of the what'll end up being this mm-hmm. this force of heroes. So
yep,
which is cool. I think that will be interesting. And I don't think they're necessarily killing off the other characters. They're just taking them off the board for the time being.
Well, I don't know if Tundra is actually dead. Okay. I'm just looking at issue 2, and I remember what that character's name is, but you know, if you're the way you're talking about time and space things, they could always change reality. If they did kill anybody, they'd, you know, undo it.
Yeah.
Because the next one you see more of them.
Because it's not like Doctor Who, where it's a fixed moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I enjoyed it. I will stick with this. At least if.
Oh, absolutely.
Be, like, stupid, but I like number 2. I like number 1. I hope to like number 3.
Assuming it does come out, yeah. And he was right. It's 2 months since the last one.
And this actually came out the same week as Scooby Apocalypse number 1, which is out now on issue 3. So clearly the team on Scooby Apocalypse is able to keep a more timely schedule.
So I'm wondering if they had the second issue had stuff that Cook was supposed to work on and they had to work around that or something.
Poor Darwin.
Because I seems like I read somewhere that he was going to work on that book.
I'm sure he was. This seems his ballywick.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like when you said that Alex Ross did some stuff. It seems perfectly in vain with the Alex Ross mindset.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that I have it in trade. That Space Ghost mini was kicked ass. And it wasn't cartoony. It was full-on, you know, serious stuff, and it was good.
Did he do the interiors, or did he just do the writing, or what?
Alex Ross. No, he just did the interiors. I'm going to look it up here real quick.
Once cool.
Yeah, he did the cover for it. And they were talking about putting out an ongoing, but it never happened.
Who was the publisher?
DC. Oh. All right, here it is. It was in 2005. It was a 6-issue series. It was done by, hold on, Joe Kelly. Oh, the penciler inside was Ariel Olivetti. Yeah, I remember. It was really good, too. Cover artist was Ross. He did all the covers for it. But, yeah, the trade is out there. I don't know. Is it still on Amazon? Anyway, it's a great story.
So, if you ever see Murray, had you read this before we just covered it, or was this a new?
I had read it. I hadn't picked up issue 2 yet, though.
Mm-hmm.
So now I will have to because it's good.
It's good. It's fun.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And can't you? I mean, it's so cinematic, and I can actually hear the theme music while I was reading it.
I could, too.
And it didn't even cut off the call.
No, it didn't. I'm trying to look. I could have swore that they just released that again on Comixology.
Hey, no swearing.
No, I don't see it. Oh, well. It's a great series if you can get it, catch it. It tells a different origin for Space Ghost. That's what it was to do, was to give him an origin. And it was pretty damn cool. I loved it. Well, all right. I think we've since we've done maybe what 4 episodes today, we might be ready to wrap this up.
And I'm spent.
Yeah, I am too. Let's see. Lots of news going on at San Diego this weekend. Yeah, there's news. Go look it up.
Lots of movie trailers and TV trailers coming out of San Diego.
Yeah, movie trailers. They finally announced the name of the new Star Trek show. Trying to think what other stuff. Now, anyway. All right. Oh, yeah, they cast the Captain Marvel movie. Brie Larson's going to be Captain Marvel.
Who is she? Who's Brie Larson?
I've never heard of her.
She
doesn't look. She was in a movie called The Room that was supposedly very good, so. Okay.
Is that the one where the kid is in the room, like, the whole movie?
Yeah, she was kidnapped as a teenager, and she has a son, and they're living in a room, and eventually he...
They get let out. Okay, that makes sense. All right, then. Okay. So, as always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromalongbox.com. Almost made it without yelling. Oh, God. Sorry. Or you can join us on the Facebook page and let us know what you think there. Or, as always, you can also comment on the actual episodes and give us some feedback. Feedback would be good. Anyway.
Feedback.
Yeah, I know. Nobody's tried to kick us off the air, so, I mean, that must be a good sign, I think.
Good. I'm happy for that.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right, then. That's it for this week.
Is it? Is it really?
Yeah.
Is it really? Okay, well.
We got our 5-year anniversary coming up, boys.
Holy moly. I feel old.
Yep. Let's see. We are and looking at the website here. We start, our very first episode was in August. I love that damn theme song. I was reading this first issue to the youngest. And I started, every once in a while, I'd stop and sing the theme song, and he just looked at me like that's crazy.
So, all right, yeah. Well, 5 years. Figure out when that date is, and we'll...
Yeah, I'm going to. August 2011.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Long time ago, sir. Long time ago.
All right.
Yes. We'll figure that out. Let's see. What day would that be? Very first episode was released August 8th, 2011.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
All right. Well, I'm going to go bug my kids. We're watching Marx Brothers movies today, so.
Woo, there you go. All right. Well, you guys take it easy, man. All right.
Catch you later.
Have a good afternoon.
All right. Later. Hey!